Me. Now, this is just started, but it's not a complete paper as yet. I'm still looking around. But this has started from Higgs. It was sort of kind of idea was brought that Keynes is general theory, stopped at general theory. He will talk about lots of other things about Keynes. But going by the now quote-unquote popular application of Keynes and industrialization, everybody talks about what they think is general theory. And surprisingly, Higgs did that in the 70s when all these oil price crises first came in. And he said that given the increase in oil prices, and at that time food prices, he says that full employment, this is how he spelt it, they at the high growth rates of Bretton Woods period cannot now be reached, since the supplies of primary product that would be needed to support it are not available. So it is the Keynesian full employment policy does not work. In fact, Keynes himself was aware of this, and as Vicky and Shackle before said, that Keynesian economics is an unfolding drama, so it is really something which Keynes did not look into general theory, but he had thought about that. But he thought about it rather recently. Now, as Calder put it, Keynesian savings investment multiplier, which you find in general theory, varying the amount of production and leads to a situation that is not resource constrained. Okay. So the resource constraint, that is what's coming from. But we see in 1938, Keynes devoted his attention where there are resource constraints, and that can actually mess up with full employment. This, Keynes went back to the war years, and we'll see later that on his set of pre-Bretton Woods paper that he did for the War Office were actually based on this 1938 paper. The language is almost the same. He kept repeating itself. He had lots of drafts, but all of them looks almost identical. Now, this is what he wrote. This we have done this morning quite a lot, economic possibilities for our children. But it is the technological unemployment, sorry, Vicky. Now, but this is the problem. He was looking at it around that time. So, and in general theory, he has solved it. That's why the next bit, we have done it, it's no longer a problem. Okay? Now, but in 38, we come to this fluctuations of impact of fluctuation in the commodity prices. The prices of raw materials which can lead to fluctuation in immediate demand. And we can also come out that there exist two major groups of commodities which respond quite differently to the fluctuation of effective demand. We have heard this one before. Other people said that. We'll talk about it in a minute. So what are these two types of commodities? For one type of commodities, prices are comparatively stable and fluctuations in demand is made by centralized control of output and by organized arrangement withholding stocks. Other type of commodities, producers themselves are not in a position to withhold their stocks, and the scale of output is governed by price fluctuation. The first type of commodities is the manufactured goods, and these are type of the commodities that are the primary products. We have the fact that we have two major groups of commodities which can respond quite differently to fluctuation in effective demand is of great importance to the general theory of the short period. So actually demand management is not only thing, we'll have to look at something else as well. This is most probably for the first time we come across what later became in the hands of Kalisky, Higgs and later Kaldor, as they call fixed price, or cost-based, demand-based price. That literature came in here. That literature is summarized here, different people, because the prices are determined by a markup and wage cost. Now, whatever the supply of labor or potential supply of labor in relation to the price of labor in terms of food cannot fall, that probably gave the kink in the earth. Okay? Below a certain minimum determined by the cost of subsistence, but the cost is determined by the custom or convention or by sheer biological needs. There's no such thing as market clearing waste rate without reference to the basic cost of living. So Kaldor formulated it like this, which is that there are two types of output, and this is depends on, one is the manufacturing, A is the agriculture, N is the multiplier, share of expenditure on agricultural products in total income. This is the doctrine of foreign trade multiplier, against the savings investment multiplier. In 38, two multipliers coming together. In Keynes 1938, we get the first glimpse of his policy of commodity control, or what he calls common control, in his policy proposal to a secure stimulus to our export industries and increased control over the trade cycle, and an insurance against having to pay excessive prices for the primary products at a subsequent date. He proposed that the government should offer storage of food, empire producers, remember the term empire producers, of specified raw materials, either free of warehouse charges and the interest of a nominal charge provided they ship their supplier producers approval warehouses of this country. These are the nitty-gritty. But what is important for the maintenance of good employment throughout the world in the industrial countries as well as in those producing primary commodities, this is of the first importance, sufficient by itself to justify the setting up of a machinery for buffer stocks. So there is the employment and commodity price things comes in. Now, Skidelsky wrote this one. General theory can be interpreted as short-run theory of employment in a closed economy, in which the stock of capital, physical and human is taken as given. But Keynes had written a lot, notably in his tract on monetary reform and treatise of money, about the problems of open economies, particularly the problem of combining internal and external equilibrium. In the later book and also in his pamphlet, The Means to Prosperity, he has sketched out the plans for a world super bank to expand world reserves and on which he drew his wartime proposal. I haven't looked up these things in detail yet, so I'm still blind person trying to see an elephant, and I don't know how far I'll go. I will be able to go. Anyhow, now, this case concept, the international clearing union as a set of interlocking regimes governing money, investment, commodities, and trade. The monetary scheme was worked out in detail. This, however, at Roy Harris Prodding, did on 20 January 1942. drafted a memorandum on buffer stocks, Skidelsky. Actually, that 38 paper is crucial because when Harrod started sort of prodding Keynes about the commodity supply and commodity control, Keynes said that in a reply to Harrod's letter in 1942, Keynes said he had tracked out his 1938 article in this area. This is in the collective volume. I wrote it collected works. Yeah. Now, this is what I are the bits and pieces that I have got. From there, we can now speculate. Where do we go from here? One thing we can do is going by as Vicky's scene shifting and different macroeconomic problem. Obviously, the nature of the macroeconomic problem has changed. Now, if we look at Keynesian system as an open system, but all open system needs closure. In the 36 general theory, the closure did not need any discussion or any consideration of primary product. What is interesting thing that it's only in 2 years after 2 years Keynes started thinking about the primary product resources constraint. Could this be, and this is mere speculation, that even in 1938, whenever Keynes referred to primary produce, the commodities, he used a number of commodities, wheat, tin, wool, this kind of things. Oil was not there. But each time he referred to this as the empire produce. Obviously, he took the empire for granted. And in his other works, other small works, whenever he talked about that, even in his War Office documents, there is some sort of feeling, one cannot avoid, that he has seen that Australia, India, and other classes of empire countries will go on producing, supplying these particular primary products. And that is all they will do for the rest of their life. But what then him change his mind or consider reopening his close model of 1936? Could it be that he was thinking that it is the other country may start to dominate and in the international scene, because up till around that time, Britain could have, even after the First World War, Britain could have, may have thought that it was all right. It is all right, we have done the problem, but raw material supply is not our, it will be under our control. But is the American dominance started to be felt around from this period or not? I do not know what it started. As I said, I'm still trying to see an elephant. But that's it. Any help anybody can provide me will be grateful. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.